Shallowy driving it toward the back post for Zusi, who puts it back across, and Shelton slots it home. Zusi can have a hit from here. He does. And Graham Zusi re-elects Graham Zusi. Shallowy knocks it in. The Hungarian assassin has given Sporting KC the lead. It's Russell.
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What is up, Sporting Kansas City fans? Welcome to this week's Sporting Kansas City Show. A little bit of a victory show here today as we are recording on a Wednesday, the show going live, of course, here on Sports Radio 810. And Sporting Kansas City got a big 3-0 win last night in the third round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup over Tulsa Athletic. We will talk about all of that on the show along with Nate Buchady. As always, I'm Allie Trost-Martin, and we've got a special guest joining us later on in Sporting Kansas City. Right back, Jake Davis. He played a full 90 last night in his second start for the club, so we'll talk about his career, that game, and a lot more. Some great insights and perspective from Jake Davis as he continues to grow and advance in his career. But yeah, we'll talk about some of that with him. And then, of course, we will preview this game over the weekend, Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. Sporting Kansas City taking on CF Montreal, returning to MLS regular season play, where they continue to look for their first win. But Nate Buchady, they got their first win finally last night against Tulsa Athletic. Yes, it was a fourth division opponent. It was a game that everybody expected Sporting Kansas City to go out and win. And that's all fine and good, but this team needed a win no matter who it was against. And they went out and did it. Goals from Daniel Shallowy, Alan Polito, and Marinos Giannis. That was the score sheet after the game. Just you were at the match.
I was.
Enjoying it. You got to come and join Jacob and I in the broadcast booth as we were getting to call that game. Brad Martell producing. It was a lot of fun. Takeaways from the game and then just being at the game as a fan. Not many times that you've gotten that experience.
First time in over 8 years that I got to go to a sporting game as a fan. So that was a weird experience. It was fun. It was weird. I took my oldest son, Benny, with me. Before I took the Sporting Kansas City job, when I took the Sporting Kansas City job, he was 3 years old. And used to take him to games all the time. We were season ticket holders back then. But he doesn't really remember going to sporting games with me. What he remembers is going to the sporting games with my wife and his siblings, and me meeting them in the Shield Club for dinner. You know, before the game, I'd get to come down and give them a big hug and have some dinner with them. And that was the only time we spent together on game days. And sometimes if we got done with post game quick, they'd hang out and I'd get to see them after the game a little bit. So I got to actually sit and watch a game with my seventh grade son, and that was really cool. It was really fun. We both were frustrated through the first 30 minutes that they couldn't score a goal and all that. But the weird part was also I was torn between, I want to sit here with my son and watch this game, but I want to go say hi to everybody. Like, I miss everyone. I miss all the people. Like, I could list off, you know, Greg Allen and Boomer and Betsy and Blissey and all, like, Sayod and Jake Reed and all these guys, like, just people from top to bottom of the organization that I don't get to see that often anymore.
And you, I want to forget, like, on a game day, how many people that you just come in contact with.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And my son was annoyed. He's like, you know everybody here, you know? And I was like, well, I used to work here, you know?
You know?
But we came up to try to see you guys, but we got stopped so many times. By the time I got up to the booth, you guys were back on the air to start the second half. So we couldn't really talk, but I took a creepy picture of you guys from behind and got to wave at you for a second. I got to go out to the truck to say hi to Brad Martell, who's producing it, and that was really cool. So it was, and you know what? We watched the second half from the walkway above the cauldron. And I did that a couple times back when the United States national team played here. And I actually think that's the best viewpoint from the whole stadium. I mean, we just sat there the whole second half and just enjoyed it. It was really fun.
So my dear husband, Tom Martin, will stand by. That is like one of his favorite spots. And that's typically where some of those standing room only tickets, like, it's right over where you said the walkway above the supporter section. And it is. It's a great view of the game. It's a great spot to watch. So, yeah, if you're ever looking to go out to a game and want a different vantage point, that's a sneaky good one.
Yeah, I think there's some people that buy tickets and then just go stand there instead because it's such a great place. But it was really fun. It was really cool to be there. One thing that hit me was when we were watching the intros, like the hype videos and stuff, my voice was on there a lot because you haven't had any goals to call yet. And I was like, we got to get Allie some goals here because she needs to have her voice on those videos. And you got some.
And I got some.
And I thought your goal calls were great, by the way. It was fun to hear those. But it was kind of weird because it didn't seem like anybody celebrated their goals.
Yeah.
And I think there was almost a sense of, I mean, you can read a lot into goal celebrations, but like Daniels, I think he probably felt like, you know, MLS keeper, not sure if that one goes in. I don't know. He didn't really celebrate. And then Johnny's didn't really celebrate his either. Polito seemed to celebrate his a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's like, there was no scoreline in that game that was going to make everybody feel like, you know what, everything's fine.
Yep.
Right? There was no scoreline. There was no way that game was going to play out that was going to make you feel that way. But a loss would have made you feel like this whole thing is a disaster. And they didn't get that. They got a win. And the moment of the match, I think, for all of us was when John Polskamp made the save on that penalty in the first half when it was 0-0. Because when that happened, I mean, we were all looking around at the people around us like, oh, God, here, oh, no. Because Sporting been dominating the game.
Yeah.
Hadn't gotten their chances or hadn't taken their chances yet. And that was a good save. That wasn't a bad penalty try.
No.
That was a good save.
And I think, you know, with how, and I got to give credit to Tulsa Athletic for how they came out and played this game. Like, it was very clear that their game plan was put every man behind the ball, let Sporting have the bulk of the possession. I think they finished with nearly 80% possession, or at least in the first half, that's about what that number was. And then have Jordan Watson, one of their strikers, hang up near the midfield line. And if they were able to turn the ball over, quickly try and spring a counterattack. And all it took was that one play. John Polskamp just a little bit late coming out, got a little too much of Watson on that one. It definitely was a penalty, but it wasn't poorly taken by Chris Taylor. And for Polskamp to, after being the one to give up the foul to lead to the penalty, to then stay composed, he guessed the right direction. It was a huge stop. I don't really even want to know how the game would have gone had that ball gone in the back of the net, and then Sporting are trailing 1-0 in that game after having so much of the possession, having more of the chances. But it was hard for them, I think, to break through just because of how many players were behind the ball. But once they did, it seemed like, okay, how many goals now are going to come after this? And they could have certainly had a few more. There were a few big stops from Tulsa Athletic as that game went on. John East almost had a brace. Eric Tommy, God, a guy who just cannot buy a goal right now, almost had one off of his free kick in the second half. So could have easily been a 5-0 scoreline, but they get the 3-0 scoreline, and I think seeing Polito score a goal was huge. And a storyline that we found out after the fact when manager Peter Vermes addressed the media was that on the plane home from the loss at New England last week, and Polito actually approached Vermes and told him that he wanted to play in this game. He wanted a chance to score, to contribute, and it wasn't a part of the original game plan to have your highest paid player, one of your designated players going up against a team full of, you know, guys who play the game for fun. They don't get a paycheck. This is a semi-pro team out of Tulsa, but, you know, all in all, the fact that you get Alan Polito on the field and Gadi Kinda in his first minutes of 2023, his first game back in over 500 days, and I thought he had a good shift. So I think those are some positives that you take away, and hopefully neither player exhausted to the point where they can't feature this week. And I would imagine they both can, with Gotti coming out 30 minutes in and Allen playing at about 60.
Yeah, so a couple of things on what you said there. To me, when you said, yeah, gosh knows how things would have turned out had they made that penalty, this is how I think it would have turned out, because I was already contemplating it. Like, when they were lining up for the penalty, like, oh, gosh. And I thought to myself, look, Sporting are creating a million chances already in this game. They're going to get a goal or two in this game, so they're going to be okay. That's what I told myself.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's just what you tell yourself when you're in that moment. You know, like, I'm not going to give up on the game, whatever minute it was. But to that point, you saying it could have been 5-0. I think that if this Sporting team is clicking the way we expect them to click, that game is 5-6-0.
Absolutely.
I think what we saw there was a perfect example of one of the biggest things that's going wrong now that things have kind of built the way they have, is there's a lot of guys out there that are not playing with a free mind. They're thinking too much. They're snatching at their chances. Pulido missed the target several times. And the thing that's been so amazing about Pulido back when he was healthy, the first couple years with Sporting, is when he got chances, man, clinical finisher.
Yeah.
You know, bottom corner, top corner, you know, clever one-touch finishes, not simple ones that he put away. And he was missing those last night. And Daniel, you know, has been missing some of those chances. And then just the idea of like, man, do I pass this ball or do I have a go? Those things, when you're playing well, you're not thinking, you're just playing. And they're thinking, they're struggling. They know their lack of celebration showed they know they're struggling. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you hope that getting that win can ease a little bit of the tension.
Yeah.
I just feel like these guys, they almost just need, you know, what, free your mind, you know,
yeah,
just relax and go play. And in the attack anyway,
mm-hmm,
you know, in the attack, I think that's what they need. I'm going to be really curious to see what it looks like if you can get Gadi Kinda and Eric Tommy as the advanced midfielders in this system,
mm-hmm,
playing side by side, what that might do for some of the creativity. I want to see more of Gadi and Daniel Shallowy combining together, because I think that's always been something that worked really well together. So overall, I do think positives,
yes,
that can be taken out of this game. Now, obviously, it's really important to try to carry them over into the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, we can talk a little bit more about some of the other positives in this game, but really none of that matters if the regular season doesn't start turning around for this team, and that is clearly the goal. They'll be back at home this week and another chance in front of their home fans against another struggling team in CF Montreal, a game I think that, again, there's no must wins, but it's a game that once Sporting are able to find that first regular season win, hopefully that just gives a huge boost to confidence. I talked to Felipe Hernandez ahead of the game for our pregame interview, and he said something about, you know, like, this is a confident group of guys. You know, this is they're professional athletes. They're all incredibly skilled. We've seen every single one of these players do incredible things. Just look at the end of last season. But there's no confidence that can compare to when you're seeing the ball go in the back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that it just comes down to that, because Johnny Russell was there. He did not dress for the game, but was hanging out with us in the broadcast booth beforehand and was telling, you know, me and Jacob, just candidly talking about the season. He was like, I don't even know what to say. He's like, if you watch us in training, like, we're flying each week. We have that chemistry. We have that confidence. And then it's just something will happen in the game and it starts to fall apart. So, you know, having strong starts, being able to just prove to yourself game by game in various situations that you can come out on top, whether that's coming back after trailing, you know, by a 1-0 deficit or 2-0 or what, coming back in games, protecting leads, like all of those things you need to prove to yourself each season in different situations that you can hold your own when those moments present themselves in a game. And every season's different. We've seen this team, you know, carry on incredible trends of, you know, never in coming back in a ton of games or having a lot of 1-0 victories or 1-goal victories. You know, there's all different things that it takes to eventually be the last team standing and to be able to win it all, which I know is the goal of this club. And they'll have a chance to win a trophy in U.S. Open Cup. A lot of P's and F's there trying to use words, okay?
Yeah,
a lot of talking this week, but
confidence. You got confidence too, Allie. You know what you're doing here.
Whew.
It's success breeds confidence.
Totally.
And you know what a big step would be is to finish a game with 11 guys on the field too. That would help. Simple, you know, simple things like that would help too. But I do still think it's in there for this team.
Totally.
And like you said, maybe it's, you don't want to use those words must win, but it's getting closer and closer to a time where it's now or never, you know? And I think everybody, and no one at Sporting needs you to tell them that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like like I said, if anything, that maybe is a bigger issue is the too much pressure,
mm-hmm,
type thing right now. They go relax and play a game this weekend, hopefully get a win, and now all of a sudden you can try to start stacking some points up.
Surprise themselves. But like you mentioned, now having Gadi Kinda back, having Alan Pulido getting more and more minutes, and where does that leave Eric Tommy? Does he continue to play in the midfield maybe alongside Gadi Kinda, so long as Nemanja Radoya is out? Remy Voltaire still slotting in at the six, but he's played every minute for this team this season. I don't see how you keep him off the starting lineup or game day roster, obviously, for this team. We did see Eric Tommy, though, move into Alan Polito's role, playing as a bit of a false nine in that game, and so that could always be an option for him as well. Vermees even said after the game, hey, it was nice to see him in that more advanced role, just given the fact that Willy Agata's out, you know, through probably July with the stress fracture surgery that he had to undergo. Ethan Bryant in the midfield, an SKC2 short-term loan.
He was a real bright
spot. And Jacob and I talked about it on the broadcast. You know, sometimes when these young guys get these opportunities, they don't always attack the moment or mm-hmm. really hunt for the ball, like wanting mm-hmm. to be on the ball. He was everywhere, and he was really seeking, you know, he was making the right runs, he was getting into dangerous spots, he was driving the game forward. I was really impressed with him. So he's one, I think, you know, to keep watching if he gets any other opportunities with SKC, the first team this season. But watching these SKC2 games, you know, just checking in on these guys and how they're progressing, that was a big bright spot. Of course, like I mentioned, getting Gadi Kinda, Alan Polito back, other young players getting into the game as well. And another bright spot, Jake Davis playing at right back a full 90 minutes. I thought he had a great game as well, and he will be our guest in the next segment here on the Sporting Kansas City Show, talking all about that U.S. Open Cup win and about his development as a player, not just on the field, but off the field, with some of that mentality stuff as well. Some great stuff from Jake Davis coming up here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We are off and running, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And we're back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati, Allie Trost Martin, now joined by Sporting Kansas City midfielder and right back Jake Davis, joining us actually from the field. They just wrapped up a region session out at the training facility after last night's 3-0 U.S. Open Cup win over Tulsa Athletic. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. You said just before we started the interview here that a little different playing right back. 90 minutes. It was a nice night. But what was so different about playing right back?
Well, I mean, in the past when I've played right back, I think it was for a lot less minutes than 90. Obviously, I think, you know, obviously this year I subbed in against Seattle, played right back for the last 10 minutes of the game, and this year on the second team I've played little minutes at right back, but I think getting a full 90 was just different, and getting the full experience at right back and everything that comes with that position, and it was good.
And it was your second career start for Sporting Kansas City. Do you like playing at right back compared to the midfield, or how has that transition been for you?
Yeah, I have history at right back. I think when I was on the USL team, Paulo Nagamura had me play there a couple games, and the first couple games when I played there, you know, I don't know if it came naturally, but I think that I figured my way out and found my feet there, and just throughout the past couple of years, you know, knowing and having that experience playing there, I kind of took it upon myself that maybe, you know, this could be a position I could play in the future, or, you know, if the team needs me there, that I can be useful there. And I think I tried to focus myself on watching, you know, Zeus play right back in sessions and games, just in case, you know, if they need me there. And, you know, obviously right back's not my main position, but I felt like I did a decent job there, and that if they need me to play there, I can help my team there. So.
And you did that last night, Jake. And look, this was a situation last night where the team needed a win. However, they got it against whomever they were playing. It's obviously no secret the team's been struggling to get that type of result. So for a person in your situation, you're trying to earn minutes with the first team, but you're also in a situation where it's obvious like the team needs something to feel good about. What was your attitude? What was the team's attitude going into that game last night?
You know, I think we all had one thing in our mind, and it was to win the game. I mean, there was, you know, do whatever we can to win the game. And obviously we were playing an opponent, which we have a lot of respect for, in a lower league. But, you know, we didn't want to overestimate. We just wanted to go out and play our game and get a win. I mean, it's a cup game. We should be winning that game. And, you know, obviously we went out and got it, and that's what matters. 3-0 win. Now we have to focus on the next game and try to keep that up for this weekend and keep it going for the rest of the season. I think it was a good, you know, like what you just said, whoever we were playing against, it could have been anybody. It could have been MLS team, USL, whatever team we were playing against. We needed to go out and win that game.
Well, it was a kind of testy first 30 minutes there, as you know, they were playing in a really low block. They had just about every man outside of Jordan Watson behind the ball. Just take me into that, you know, that opening 30 minutes and kind of feeling out the beginning of that game as they were really committed to keeping numbers behind the ball.
Yeah, I think we all knew that might happen, and we, you know, we all have game film on that other team, and they like to play direct, and, you know, coming into our stadium against a team like us, we figured that they might go into a low block. But I think we had a good rhythm. Maybe we could have moved the ball faster, but I think, you know, I think it was almost their first pass forward that got in behind our defense, and which caused the penalty. But, I mean, I think that may have caught us off guard. And, look, when you have a bunch of possession in the game in the first 30 minutes and then that happens, it's kind of like an uppercut in a boxing match. Like, it's kind of caught us off guard. But John made a big save, which was really important, and I think that gave us a lot of momentum to just, you know, to like, almost wake us up. Like, okay, we need to get a goal. We can get a goal. Let's stop dilly-dallying and, like, put one in the net. You know, give us the advantage and let's keep going forward. And, you know, I mean, I think we did a good job in the first 30 minutes. But, I mean, besides the first pass that got him behind our defense, I mean, we managed the game. And, I mean, look, it was 3-0, but I feel like we could have scored a lot more.
Yeah,
I mean,
there were
bottom line.
Yeah, there were a couple of close ones, but it was you guys the rest of the way, 3-0 win. But after the game, you know, it seemed like, while the team was happy to get the win, the celebrations were a tad bit reserved. What was kind of the response after the game in the locker room? How did you guys kind of take that win?
Well, obviously with the results this year, I mean, it's been hard. But, look, we won the game 3-0. We achieved what we wanted to go do. And I think everyone was happy for the result. And I think we were just in the moment. We won a game. Got a win at our belt, 3 goals, clean sheet. I think we were all happy about that. And, you know, if you want to say the celebrations are reserved, I think it was because, you know, we have a midweek game and we have a game coming up this weekend and we don't want to get too happy. I mean, we have to stay focused, stay humble, keep our heads down and keep doing what we want to do and achieve this win this Saturday.
Love it.
And not get too excited, not too high on the high, not too low on the low, just keep going.
So we're visiting with Jake Davis, and I think obviously that's the right mentality the team's got to have going forward. I want to get back to your individual mentality at this stage in your career, Jake, because I've had the chance, Allie and I both have had the chance to watch you. I still actually remember, I don't even know if you would remember something like this, but I remember you introducing yourself to me as an academy kid that was getting a chance to try or to, you know, to practice and train with the first team. This would probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And I was impressed because you were a kid at that point in your life, and you just walked up to me and said, "Hi, my name's Jake Davis." Do you remember that at all by any chance?
I think I do, but I'm not 100%.
I don't expect you to. I'm guessing you did that to a lot of people, but I was very impressed by that. You know, you just saw a guy on the sideline and said, "Hey, I'm going to go introduce myself to him." You shook hands with me, and but you... I have to say this the right way. You looked like a kid. You were a kid. And then, like, last year I showed up, and I was like, what happened to Jake Davis? I swear he's, like, 4 inches taller, and he's got facial hair now, and he looks like he's grown into a man. And that's the physical part of it, but there's also the emotional part of growing up. I thought it was very mature of you as a young person to go up and introduce yourself to random people at the training grounds like me. How much have you changed physically, mentally, and everything since those days 3 or 4 years ago?
I think, obviously the physical change is obvious. I mean, I've grown, gotten bigger. You know, I think I almost think that's the easier side of things. I think my biggest battle was the emotional and mental side. I think this year, especially in the end of last year, Peter and the coaching staff have really focused with me on, you know, staying emotionally stable and not getting too carried away with, you know, my emotions. I mean, like, I think I think a lot of people know, my teammates and, you know, you guys and some of the fans know, I'm a pretty aggressive player. And I think, you know, before this year and most of, in the beginning years of my career, I was almost too aggressive. I took things a little too personal. And, you know, I think Peter and the coaching staff noticed that when those type of things would happen to me in the game or in practice, I would lose my focus on what I really had to do to help the team win. And I would focus on things that didn't matter, like going to hunt someone down or, you know, yelling at somebody. Like, you know, I think those guys have made me aware this year that, you know, that makes me lose my focus on what I need to do in the game or in practice to help the team win. And if I'm focusing on those things, then I'm letting my team down, you know? And I think that in preseason especially, I came in with the right mentality, you know, focus on helping my team win in the best way I can, no matter where they put me, and not getting mad about the silly things and things that don't matter. Someone puts a tackle in on me, I'm not going to go hunt them down. I'm going to stay focused, stay calm, and just keep doing, staying with them. And that's, you know, obviously physical and mental side are two different things, but I definitely think that the mental side of my game was the biggest thing that I needed to improve.
Man, I love hearing that.
Words of wisdom from Jake Davis.
Dude, I call it emotional intelligence, yeah. You know, and I'm getting ready to watch the English Premier League team that I love, Arsenal, hopefully not collapse today against Manchester City.
So
but, you know,
that's
the reason.
My team, too.
Is it really?
Yes, all three
okay,
of us.
This could be great then, Jake. Allie, too. You know who? Can you guess what player I'm thinking of as you just described your emotional development? There's a player for Arsenal who's a veteran now that's just like ringing
Granit
in my
Xhaka.
Ears. Thank you. Granit Xhaka. I didn't like him, Jake, early in his career at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Because he did all the things you just said. He would get himself a red card and throw it out of a game because he was mad that somebody had fouled him early in the game or something like that. And I honestly, I was like, man, I don't want this guy around anymore. But Mikel Arteta knew that. But he also knew, like, you know what you've got going for you, Jake, that Xhaka has going for him? You've got that passion.
Yeah.
You know, you are a fighter. You're aggressive. I would rather have a guy like that can learn how to control those things than a guy that doesn't care enough.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
So do you watch? You've watched him. Does that resonate with you? His progression, his career arc as a player.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he plays for. I mean, he's a different type of player. I mean, but definitely, I think I can look at him, and he's actually a really inspirational person. I mean, if you look at the Players Tribune, he does an interview and he talks a lot about how he had to make a change and how, you know, his passion for the game, yes, took him to dark places with the club, with Arsenal, but he wanted Arsenal fans to know that it was only because he cared and how he was trying to change himself because he needed to make better decisions on the field and, you know, just, I don't know. I think I might not be quoting him or paraphrasing him correctly, but if you guys look it up, I mean, it's pretty good. He's a really wise guy, and he's a really good player. So
yeah,
I'm adding that to my read list. But hey, look at all of us,
man.
Arsenal fans here.
Are we gonna do it today, Jake? I mean, like, how much faith do you got, by the way?
Well, if you look at the history, I mean, in the past 5 years. I don't think Arsenal have beat Man City. I think the overall aggregate score is like 17-3, which is not good.
No.
And they're playing away at Man City. But you know what? I mean, the title is on the line today. It's basically a final. Anything can happen. So I believe that they'll get the job done.
Shock the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Just to wrap it up, I read that article you're talking about with Xhaka, and I think you paraphrased it very well, and that's – that whole situation, like I said, it really does remind me a lot of your story. As you said, I mean, no comparisons are exact. You're not the exact same player. I'm just talking about that emotional development. And I think he's a perfect example that people do grow. You know, people do mature and figure things out. And he's like, he's the kind of guy that could be a role model for you.
He absolutely is. And I think it's important. I think, you know, he doesn't say this, but he had a really open mindset. Like, he knew what people were thinking, and he knew what he needed to fix, and he's opened up about it. And I think instead of me getting mad at people telling me that I needed to change, I think I took it in, and I took in the information, and I understood that, yes, for me to be successful for Sporting Kansas City, this is the biggest thing I need to improve on. And, of course, obviously things on the pitch, things physically, those things come every day. But I think emotionally that was the biggest thing that I needed to work on and improve, which was very important to my game.
Well, that self-awareness, I mean, that's something that people will go years and years in their mm-hmm. life without developing. So at 21, it's pretty impressive stuff. But Jake, my last question for you before we let you go, and thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with us.
Yeah.
What are some of your career goals now? You know, you talk about that emotional development and of course, pairing that with the day-to-day actions physically and technically on the field. But, you know, what are Jake Davis's goals?
I really do have one thing in mind. It's really present. I think it's just winning a trophy, winning games, winning with this club, with Sporting Kansas City. That's the most important thing I have in my mind. That's a long-term goal, or a short-term goal, but every day when we come into training, it's like the infinite mindset that Peter talks about, like coming in every day, getting better, getting focused on winning the training game, the game this weekend, this Saturday. I think in general, my long-term goal is just winning with this club, Sporting Kansas City.
Love it. What a great note to end on there. And best of luck, Jake, to you and the rest of the team this weekend as you guys take on Montreal back at home, 7:30 on Saturday night. We'll have the coverage for that game right here on Sports Radio 810. So we're looking forward to it. And again, best of luck.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you.
All right, there is Jake Davis. We will take another break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and preview that game against Montreal coming up next here on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And we're back to wrap things up on this week's edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Nate Bucati, along with me, I'm Allie Trost-Martin. You just heard from Jake Davis in that last segment, and Nate, wow, it was great to hear so much just maturity in some of Jake's answers about how he's really developed mentally and gaining some more of that emotional intelligence that, let's be honest, is such a huge part. I don't care what sport you play, what level you're at. That is just one part of the game that not everybody figures out and can be detrimental to an athlete's career. And for Jake Davis, who admittedly at times, whether he was the one talking about it or Vermees, I remember at times, you know, talking about how that was just an area that Jake had a lot of room to grow. So hearing that and seeing just how that's kind of, you know, coming into fruition on the field for him as well is just that's huge for him and for Sporting Kansas City, because he's a talented player.
So I have a cousin in town named Mike Bucati. If anybody's ever driven around Nall and about, I think it's College Boulevard in Nall, you'll see a big sign that says Bucati Companies. And sometimes people ask me, is that you? And no, I don't own any businesses. My cousin Mike started that business with two employees, and now he's got like 200, 300 employees. He makes more money than I'll ever see in my entire life. And he's just done incredible things building his own business. He told me one time when he interviews prospective employees, they do one of those personality profile tests.
Yeah.
And the most important factor in his opinion when making a hire is how they score on emotional intelligence. And how do you make decisions when the situation is emotionally heightened? You know, are you able to keep your wits about you, or do you do really stupid, irrational things? And a lot of humans have a really, really difficult time making rational decisions in emotionally charged environments. And I don't know if he's right or not. I know he's had a really successful business that he's started, and he clearly has done something right. And that always stuck with me, because I've certainly made some really stupid emotional decisions in high stress situations in my life. And I think about that a lot of times now when there is a big moment. Okay, which person in the room keeps their wits about them is probably going to be the person that walks out of this room in the better situation. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you want people in your organization that are passionate, that care, that are driven, that are motivated. Finding somebody that has that but also has the ability to keep their wits about them in emotional moments is a challenge. And we talked about Granit Xhaka. You know, I hated Granit Xhaka as an Arsenal player. I mean, I used to text my wife, this guy's emotionally stupid. And I would use that quote all the time. Yeah. And now he's the leader of a team that's got a chance anyway to win the EPL and with a bunch of young guys that look up to him. And he's grown. And what Jake said there about being open to criticism, being open, that's emotional intelligence right there, because your natural reaction in life, when someone tells you that you need to correct something, is you feel under attack. You're saying there's something wrong with me. You're attacking me. I'm going to get defensive and say, no, I don't. It's not me. It's you. Or, you know, you're picking on me, whatever. And the fact that he's willing to do that, I've always liked Jake Davis, the player. And fans, if you're listening to this, you haven't had a chance to watch it, I'll just say it. At training, Jake was known as a guy that would, he'd be kicking starters, you know, and knocking guys to the ground.
I recall a few times where Roger Espinosa was like screaming at Jake Davis. And this is coming from a guy who's been coined Red Card Roger in his career.
Yeah,
so, you know, I mean,
Roger would leave one on Jake, and Jake's like, oh, I'll get him.
Oh, yeah. You know? And he talked about that, though, too. And I thought what was so, I mean, there are so many great things that, you know, to pull from that interview with Jake. But, you know, with the technical staff really focusing with him at the end of last season about developing that, because when you do take something personally in the game and then make it your mission to, oh, God, that guy got me, I'm going to go get him now. And that's where your focus shifts. Your focus then shifts away from the team and what you're supposed to be doing for the betterment of the team and the success of the team. And I think that distinction, you know, it can be so easy when you get criticism or in a game when something happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hard not to take that personally and have it feel like, oh, that was, you know, and then make it this one-on-one. There's 11 guys on the field. There's no, I mean, you're in one-on-one situations, sure, in the game, but it's once your focus shifts to just a hyper focus on one individual or one situation that happened, it shifts then away from the larger game plan and what you're really supposed to be doing in the game. So I just to hear that even was really impressive. And I'm excited to see him get more reps with the first team, hopefully, because I thought he looked good. And let's be honest, we could see some more right backs for Sporting Kansas City, hopefully, here. You know, Zusi's been out with a muscle strain or hasn't, you know, been playing the last two games. Kaden Pierre out with a hamstring injury, and we saw Cam Duke getting a run at right back over the weekend at New England. But, you know, that it seems kind of like an open spot right now in that role on the field.
Yeah, wherever you can get on the field, if you're Jake Davis, I think is kind of his approach right now, and I like it. I'm not willing to give up on him long-term as a midfielder. I don't know where the technical staff thinks of that. Maybe they would say, no, he's a right back. But I feel like when I've watched him play, I think he has that big, physical, strong, aggressive presence that can be an enforcer in the middle of the field if he continues to grow in his decision-making and all that. But right now, wherever it gets him on the field and helps the team, and I think we saw last night, he can be an asset in that position right now.
Huge positive, and certainly been good to see Sporting get more and more players back healthy, even though it's been met with, you know, the long-term absence of Willy Agata for 12 weeks after undergoing surgery for a stress fracture in his leg. That was, you know, unfortunate to see, and I know it was really tough on him, but you're also seeing Gadi Kinda getting more minutes now. Alan Pulido working back. You see a player like Jake Davis holding his own in that right back spot, and you know, curious to see what that could look like against some MLS level competition as well. So there seems to be, you know, some of those pieces that have long been talked about through the first, you know, portion of this season are starting to get back in the mix, and it'll take, you know, every guy this entire season. There's going to be a lot of games, a lot of competitions, Open Cup, Leagues Cup, regular season. But this weekend, Nate, the only focus is on CF Montreal, their next opponent, another team that has been struggling over in the Eastern Conference. They're coming off a 2-0 win over the New York Red Bulls. And we've had this conversation. There's no must-win game, but Sporting Kansas City still looking for that first win of 2023. The only team still looking for a first win in 2023. How do they get it on Saturday?
Well, first of all, this Montreal team, they did get a win last weekend against the New York Red Bulls, and so they're off to Schneid, and Sporting now are the only team left looking for that win, and I don't care. I mean, I still think Sporting Kansas City, when I look at the roster of CF Montreal and the roster of Sporting Kansas City, These teams do not, in my opinion, belong in the same conversation. They just don't. There is too much quality. And I beg your pardon, that was the second win for Montreal. Yeah. So they've already got a couple. It was the LA Galaxy that got their first win this weekend. That leaves Sporting as their last team without a win. But I don't see these teams in the same category. I don't. I think Sporting Kansas City, if they go out and play their game with the guys that are available now to play, and Polito rounding into form, maybe they can get 45 minutes out of Gadi Kinda in this game. I don't see any reason for them not to go win this game. I just think they just got to go play and be themselves. Relax a little bit, you know, be patient with the ball. I think one of the big keys, they're going to have a ton of the ball in this game. We saw that warning shot in the Tulsa game. Again, if you get too far up the field and your fullbacks are all the way up the field and you turn the ball over, you are susceptible to that pass that leads to a counterattack. For me, they need to be cautious with that. They don't need to be overly aggressive early in the game. Be patient. Don't get yourself in a position where everybody's up the field, and then when you lose the ball, you're in trouble. I think that's kind of one of the things that happened to them that first goal they gave up in New England. You know, they gave up a breakaway. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying they shouldn't go for goals, obviously, but I think, you know, grow into the game. Give yourself a chance to, you know, to wear Montreal out a little bit. Tire them out with your possession. Make them chase the game. And if you get a goal early, great, but don't give anything up, and then start to pull them apart as the game goes on. And for me, like, again, they've got, like, I look at that Montreal team. That was the team that made it to the playoffs last year and was a good team. They lost their head coach.
Yep.
They lost Georgi Mihailovic. They are not the same team this year, and I think Sporting Kansas City ought to go out there and take care of business.
And they lost Kai Kamara, who's been setting the league on fire. You were on that call last weekend, although... Yep.
He missed a couple of opportunities in that game, but he's still scoring goals. He's at 142 now in his career. They still have Victor Wanyama, but this Victor Wanyama is not the same guy that was, you know, was playing in the English Premier League and really playing really well for Montreal the last couple of years. He's still a smart player. I don't think he's got a ton of pace to him at this point in his career. So to me, the Eric Tommies and Gadi Kinas of the world ought to be able to do some things around him.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing, like you mentioned earlier, Nate, what this midfield looks like when you do have Gadi Kinda, Eric Tommy, and then, you know, Remy Voltaire in there as well. I think now there's more ability to rotate. We saw that in the Open Cup game, even with some players not even dressing for the game. Johnny Russell wasn't even on the bench. Danny Rosero was not on the bench. I just think that the team's got just more players available at their disposal to make adjustments and see what could work in a game if needed, and quality players at that. So really looking forward to that. But that game, 7:30 p.m. this Saturday night, Children's Mercy Park. Come
You're
on out
and join
us. You're
going to get some goals to call, too, Allie.
I am. And you know what? It was great, honestly, getting to call some of those, and for Polito, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, just really happy for him. Mm-hmm. I know that he, you know, so cool for him to, you know, go up to Vermees and say that, I think. Just, I know that it wasn't their plan to play him in that game, but that's big for Polito to just... And you could see how much it meant to him, too. And I know, forget the opponent, the level of competition. For Alan Polito to find the back of the net after all that he's had to, you know, come back from, that is hopefully a huge boost of confidence for him now going into this game.
No doubt. And I do think that it's... I watched him in the game, and I pointed out to my son as we were watching it, that dude's out there working against Tulsa.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes when you're a star player and you're going up against a lower division team, that's why we see cup sets happen. That's why we see the U.S. Open Cup cause problems sometimes, because the other team's out there playing the most important game in their lives. You know, this is a guy in Alan Polito that's won cups all over the place. And a trophy, I mean, he's got at least five major trophies in his career. If a guy like that goes out there and just thinks, well, I'm playing against Tulsa, it could be a problem. He was out there. He was getting stuck in on tackles. He was engaged in the game. He was leading the team. And that stuff's as important to me almost as the goal. The goal from a confidence standpoint is great. But to me, it showed this guy is still bought in. This guy wants to be a contributor for this team going forward this year. And I got a juxtaposition to that, honestly, Allie, this weekend down doing the game from Atlanta, where Sheridan Shaqiri... for Chicago, one of the most highly paid players in the entire league. Watching him play, I question how committed is this guy to the cause.
Yeah.
Chicago's better when he's on the bench. They are. They're better with that young Brian Gutierrez playing in the middle of the field than him. And maybe he's just coming back from injury. I don't know, but I've heard enough from some people that makes me wonder how bought in is that guy? And you get your designated player that's out there and maybe has one foot out. Well, I can always go make millions going back to some other league or something like that. That can be a problem. And I didn't see that. I think Pulido showed he's in. He's in. And that, to me, if you're a Sporting Kansas City fan, that is huge news.
And that's something that's always impressed me about him, too. And Vermees has always made a point to touch on that anytime he's asked about Pulido. It's just his dedication. I mean, he cares. And he cares about this club. He cares about helping this team find success. And trust me, I know there's a lot of disappointment with fans for how much time he's missed since joining the club. But I can assure you that no one is more disappointed by that than Alan Pulido. And I think part of, that work ethic and what you see, it's just who he is. But he wants to get back and make an impact and help this team. And I think for him to show that level of dedication and just, hunger in that game against Tulsa Athletic and get rewarded with the goal, it was a positive, and I'm excited as Pulido keeps finding that rhythm and getting back into full game form, what he can do this season, because the team deserves it, the fan base deserves it, and Pulido deserves it as well. So hopefully Sporting can get that first win of the season Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. against CF Montreal. But Nate, want to hit on a couple of fun football headlines around the league and around the world as we're not just talking Sporting KC on the show all the time, but former NYCFC center forward who is on loan right now playing in La Liga, he had quite the game for Girona FC, putting up 4 goals over Real Madrid. They're 9th in La Liga right now. It was a massive performance. Great to see him finding that success. He was the 2021 MLS Golden Boot winner. Incredibly talented player, but what a performance. That was just incredible to watch some of that. I watched some of it live and then, of course, was going back and watching the highlights. But it's just great, for the growth of the league to see names like that, finding success in those kind of moments in those games.
You tie into that the story that Brenner is heading out to Udinese for a club record $10 yes. million dollars for Cincinnati. Miguel Almiron and the success that he's having at Newcastle. I think a lot of us as Americans, we look for the Americans that go overseas from Major League Soccer. And obviously, we want to see them do well because it directly translates back to the United States men's national team. But when it comes to this league, you want to see players that go from this league to another league against the big boys have success, because that makes this league more attractive to the next young rising star. I got to do the game with Thiago
yes.
Almada.
Yes.
He's going to get sold for a ton of money, whether it's this summer or next year. And you want those guys, because now when teams see Miguel Almiron have success in England, they go, if a guy's having success in Major League Soccer, he really is a prospect.
Yes.
Winning and producing in Major League Soccer is an indicator that it translates to the quote-unquote next level or whatever. And that makes more and more guys want to come here as a proving ground. And young talent that plays like those guys is exciting to watch. And I think what we're seeing is people would rather watch that than the retirement player anyway.
Yeah.
So, great news for the league.
No, so good. And you mentioned a good point, too. It's not just now about, watching the Americans playing abroad. The fact that people are invested in former MLS players who are either on loan or just got transferred or, that they're still keeping tabs on them. I think star building has been a struggle for MLS since it's, especially in the last decade. And so if you're able to build those stars and have people still engaged in what they're doing through the lens of what they saw from them during their MLS time, that's big for the league, just to stay in that conversation, to help bring more talented young players over to Major League Soccer, but so fans can stay engaged with the league on a more global scale.
And you know what else does? What else it does? It infuses the league with cash.
Yeah.
The more guys you sell for money, the more money you have to buy more players.
Yep.
It's a cyclical thing. And so let's see it keep rolling for
sure. Well, for the other soccer sickos out there, CCL action tonight, semifinal leg one, LAFC and Philadelphia Union. an MLS 2022 or MLS Cup 2022 rematch between these two teams. So excited for this one. Will we see another MLS team win CCL? Would be just the second time and would happen in back-to-back years with Seattle winning last year. This is going to be a good one. So that is tonight after you listen to the show, 8 p.m. You can catch that one. And then one last bit of news, U.S. Soccer has appointed Matt Crocker as the sporting director. His first big task, of course, finding a head coach. And he serves as the Southampton Director of Football Operations and formerly served as the English Football Association Head of Development Team. So that is your new sporting director for U.S. Soccer.
Southampton, known for developing young players over in England, for sure. So hopefully that's something he's going to be overseeing. All of the, I think, what is it, 29 different teams that are under the U.S. Soccer umbrella, the youth national team, men's and women's sides, and all that stuff. So let's get a head coach for the men's national team. Will he have one in place in time for the Gold Cup? I would like to think so. Hope so.
I it's got to be a big priority for U.S. Soccer at this time, but excited to see Matt Crocker in this new role and kind of all the exciting things to come for the U.S. men's national team and U.S. soccer. U.S. women's national team, of course, the World Cup this summer. All exciting things happening in the sport of soccer, but all eyes now on Sporting KC for the purpose of this show against CF Montreal Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. You can catch that game right here on Sports Radio 810. Myself, Jacob Peterson on the call for Nate Bucati, Jake Davis. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Allie Trost-Martin. We'll see you again next week.